Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner,
what we got cooking in this kitchen, James?
Oh, Aneke, we got so many listener questions. I think it's time to do an all Ask Minority Corner thing episode.
Okay, I am. I'm dusting off my glasses. I'm getting my intellectual on, and I am ready to answer these questions.
We've got so many questions from like, is it okay for white people to wear dreads?
Is it?
You will find out. To where are the lesbian bars? Where do lesbians go? What is going on there? To even we got some statements coming in here. Hot. Some Minority Corner kids have done some great research, and they have some comments on us in general. And we also have like, what is a really great queer POC musical? All that and so much more this week on Minority Corner.
I am ready to dive in. Should we go?
Let's get it, girl.
Let's go.
Hey, bae.
Oh, hello. What's up with you?
Like what I did there. Hey, bae. See, instead of like, you know.
I like that. It's very hip. It's very 2018.
Yeah. I forgot what year. I forgot what year it was at first. I thought like, yeah. I didn't know if it meant I was modern or not.
Oh no, you are. I literally keep forgetting that it's 2018 because I think my brain stopped in 2016 and just refuses to go
further.
You're
like, damn, this year is long. Yeah, the year's kind of like become a bit of a blur. Someone said 2018 and I thought like, oh, that was so long ago, but it's right now.
Oh, see, 2018 still sounds like future time to me because I'm still stuck in Obama time.
Okay, you know what? I get it. You're like, never gonna leave this. Never gonna leave.
Never gonna
it's
leave
November
it.
It's November 5th for you, for always.
Yes, for always. Groundhog Day forever. Until 2020 or when we impeach this asshole.
Ooh, yeah.
Who's ruining our country.
Well, I mean, even then, Pence, he's not much better. I'm going off to a gay
he's
concentration camp, so see you later.
No.
And he's gonna shut down your lady rights. He's gonna be like, women can only talk to men when they're with their other husbands.
Here's the thing. We gotta get that blue wave. We gotta flip like fucking the House and Congress and shit. So then whoever is the president can't do shit.
So you can lock it down. You can lock it down.
So vote, everyone.
Yeah.
Please register to vote if you're not registered.
I just got my card saying I'm officially a registered voter of the state of Nueva York.
Ooh.
But now I'm like, oh shit, I should have kept my California registration because I hear that it got on the ballot that they're trying to separate California into two different states. I don't think it'll happen, but it got on the ballot because you just have to put anything to get on a ballot. If you and I want to get something on the ballot,
that's true.
To like,
we can get
ballot. Enough signatures to get something on the ballot, but then people have to vote for it.
Californians, if you're listening right now, don't be dumbasses. We need all the electoral college seats that we can get, so separating us will fuck it up. So
yeah, it makes
Don't vote for that.
I have a friend of mine who he thinks that this could be part of. Well, I don't mean to get too conspiracy theorist on us, but like he thinks that there could be like a conspiracy to try to like create some sort of dissonance amongst California with this ballot measure getting on there. And so I guess I love that you brought it up and you are, well, no, I brought it up, but I love that you are because, you know, I guess like nowadays, like I never want to say, oh, that'll never happen because, you know,
we have a president, Donald Trump. Anything is fucking
possible.
So
it's like, gotta keep our eye on that. So as election season is coming up, you can expect us California Wonder Twins talking about that a lot.
Yeah, like legit, somebody just posted recently to remind me again of the terror that it was literally 25.6 and 25.5 is the difference between Hillary Clinton and fucking Donald Trump. And 49% didn't vote.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people? Vote. What the fuck is wrong? I get so mad at that. Just vote. It's free.
Yeah.
It's not. It's like, hello, don't you just want everybody to take care of you? You don't have any agency in anything. Like, People should vote.
Well, and I do believe that your place of work has to allow you time to go and work. So maybe it's an advocacy and an empowerment thing. So if you're scheduled...
It needs to be a day off.
It really does. It really does. But if you have work that day... Know that you're it's a mandate. You have to have time to be able to go and work. So you tell your boss, listen, lady or sir, I got to go vote and exercise my right.
Yes. Do it.
And okay. before we get to our full on Ask Minority Corner Anything thing,
Letter day.
I wanted to just touch on base with you on something that I think I'm going to be digging deeper into as the months go on. But I sat down with two of my aunts and uncles. I have several aunts and uncles, but one of my aunts and uncles, they know a lot about their respective family histories.
Ooh, and cool.
It was very fascinating because, you know, I have roots from family down in Louisiana.
Yes.
I also have family like from Ohio. Apparently, my grandfather, and this will be really interesting. I don't have all the deets. I need to collect all the thoughts and research and stuff. So this is just me talking out of my head right now. I'm a talking head. But my two takeaways really quick. First, this will be interesting because it'll be about passing. On my dad's side, his father, I believe his father and then his father's mother. So what's that, like my great grandmother? So her son, which was my dad's dad, so my grandpa.
This is getting wild. All right.
Just so apparently relative. He was like a passing man who had like with blue eyes.
Oh wait, let's the babies don't know
what passing is.
Babies out there, passing. Wait, please explain real quickly what passing is.
Passing is when you are a POC, but you can pass as white.
There you go. That's an easy definition.
So I guess he was like so, but his father was probably white, and that could have been done through not. It could have been done. A lot of women at the time, we don't know this for a fact, but a lot of women at the time were raped by white men. So there's a few different theories about where his father came from, which and it's interesting. Well, I'm not going to go into all that right now, this episode. But then what I also found out is that I believe on my dad's side, on his mom's side, his, so I think it was my three greats. My great 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 grandfather was a slave.
Yeah, that's how close it was.
Right. I mean, and then on
How close it was.
And then on my uncle, he's not my blood uncle, but my aunt's husband, who's also from Louisiana, his grandmother was from West Africa.
Wow.
She came like over on the boat.
And when it was illegal.
Yeah.
Because that shit got outlawed, but they still had people coming over here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess like just the lineage or something. Like, yeah, you said that she came over on the boat and then slavery was shortly ended like afterwards. But like and like just how they would lure people over on the ship. So some of literally kidnapping, it was like literally like they would just use like, oh, come over here, we're going to give you all this stuff. And they were literally like luring people away to kidnap them. And he says that when he looked at like his relatives, like he could, like they were straight up African. And unlike a lot of people in Louisiana, he's like, there's not a lot of people in Louisiana who are straight anything because it was such a cultural melting
Creole,
pot.
Creole,
And so there's a lot of members of my family who have that like Creole blood inside. Like everyone just so mixed with everything.
That is fascinating. I really like, I feel like that's something that a lot of Black people don't really kind of look into is the lineage and genealogy. Because, I mean, granted, a lot of it is new. Like, it's erased once you come over to America. Like, we don't know our African roots and all of that because it was deliberately gotten rid of. But I think it's fascinating. I love that sort of stuff. And even, like, more current history. Like, I know I've talked about my family on here before, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's something really empowering about hearing about where you come from and your roots in this country to really affirm yourself as an American, which right now is being taken away from a lot of Black people. Like our rights as Americans, a lot of people are being emboldened to be racist and to try and claim that we don't belong here and we don't have the same rights, when in fact we probably have more rights to be here because of the shit that we've been through and our families have been through and our blood has been through. So I think that you need to uncover this stuff because it's fucking fascinating.
Yeah. And actually, my cousin and I were listening to my aunt and uncle talk, we were like, man, we should be recording this. And eventually, like, they were recording, and he did hit record. I'm like, oh my God, you Linda tripped your mom and dad. Like,
yeah.
Because it is important to get these histories. Because, you know, yeah. honestly, like, you know, my grandmother on my mom's side passed away, and she knows so much of the history from my family from the West Indies. And she had met, right. like, a lot of them, and she's gone. And you know, like, once they're gone, it's hard to get that history back. And the stories are so interesting. My uncle was explaining, this is sort of like how, like, there's all this land on his side of the family. And it was interesting. Mm-hmm. The way that he was talking about it, I was like, have you watched Queen Sugar? Because this sounds like exactly like Ooh. The shit that's going on in Queen Sugar. And he's like, yeah, I watch it. And I'm like, it must feel, it's so interesting how historically factual Ava DuVernay's Queen Sugar is too, talking about things like sharecroppers and mm-hmm. black people who own land and how it was given back to them after slavery, but then how white people are still now trying to take that land away. It's fascinating. Mm. Fascinating stuff.
Ooh.
So I'm definitely yes. going to circle back and I want to do just like a topic one day about just the struggles of black landowners in Louisiana and that history. So
I love
putting that
stuff
out there to hold me accountable.
Yeah, we'll be circling back to it. I'll be calling you to the floor. I fucking love that stuff because, you know, a lot of us have shared history, even though it might be from different places. Like I always talk about how I have like West Indian family, but at the same time, there were people in my family who passed as well. Mm. Like, so there's a similarity that I feel like a lot of people could relate to too from hearing your history.
And just knowing how on my dad's side, how close that like slavery, like how it's a stone's throw
it's
away.
Close.
And my grandmother, she grew up in segregated South Louisiana. And like in her day, there was like certain water fountains that my grandmother, she couldn't go to.
Yeah.
And that like the kids used to, like when she was like a little girl walking home from school, the white kids, these white kids or white people would go up to her and like harass her. This little girl,
yeah, I
pull
mean,
on her hair, throw rocks at her. My grandmother
up.
Had rocks thrown at her. Like, what?
My parents were bused to schools. Mm. Like, this is recent history. There is the Norman Rockwell painting of Ruby Bridges. If you don't know who Ruby Bridges is, she's a little girl who integrated schools and was like fully opposed to, like, people were like, she had to have armed forces with her to go. She's 61, 62.
Damn, she's that young?
Yes. Oof. This is recent history, but that she's, also like, should point to the fact.
She's just a few years older than my dad.
Exactly. That should point to the fact that the same people who were opposing all of this shit, that were fully into segregation, that were fighting for segregation, that were fighting for loving versus loving to be overturned, mm-hmm. people who went to lynchings, people who lynched people, they're still alive.
Yeah.
And their children are still alive.
And some of them have political power in this country
exactly.
as we currently
Jeff
speak.
Jeff Sessions.
I was literally just thinking of Jeff Sessions. Like, mm-hmm. he's our attorney general. It's scary.
Like, I get so mad when I think about when Obama was president and everybody was talking about how we lived in a post-racial America. Like, that naivete has led us to now.
Mm, true. Because people went sleeping. They went to sleep. They're like, work is done. Done, done, done.
They went to fucking sleep. But you know what? I'm fucking awake.
Yep. And here, Minority Corner is your alarm clock. Ding, 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 ding. Time
ring,
to
ring,
wake
ring,
up.
Ring. Wake up, assholes.
Oof. Well, on that note, let's get to...
Should we get to letters?
Let's get to the letters. I think we're just going to let this roll on through, right? We're just going to roll in.
Actually, you know, let's
take a little break.
Okay.
Let's take a little quick break, and then we're going to get our first Ask Minority Corner question into your ear holes.
Let's do it. You know the listeners want to hear some music.
They do. Here's a little ditty.
Maximum Fun's new sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble, is coming to San Diego Comic-Con on July 21st. At 1 p.m., Bubble cast members Travis McElroy, Cristela Alonso, Eliza Skinner, Allison Becker, Mike Mitchell, Jordan Morris, and Danielle Radford will be signing autographs. Tickets are required, but free. Then at 5 p.m., the cast will participate in a panel moderated by Jesse Thorne, held at the San Diego Central Library. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/SDCC.
dun 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 dun.
Yes, needed that.
You guys had a great break because I know we did. Aneka got me giggling over here. I am in tears and stitches.
Sorry, secrets.
You guys think you guys are missing out. If only you could be here on the breaks, but you can't. But you can't. Secrets. But you know what? I want to kick things off. We have our first listener question.
Yes,
and
let's do it.
It's from me.
Oh.
And it's to you.
Okay.
I'm okay. I like to sometimes wear a more natural curl. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get a really nice, tight, controlled curl. But I mm-hmm. want to have a more natural, curled, poppin' look. But mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it, and I'm too scared.
Okay, well, one, you should not be scared, because right now, loose, a little frizzy, a little, you know, wild, out of control look is in. It is so in right now. Like, so many of us Black folks are out here rocking our natural hair without her. Too much product. So, one, your hair, I already know this, has a good curl. Like, there is no such thing as good or bad. I need to not say that. You have a mm-hmm. curl pattern.
They do.
And I know that you like to use a gel, and you like to mm-hmm. use a hard gel to give you that extra curl definition.
And that wet, sleek look.
Yeah, I think that you should go for a more soft and loose. Like, try like a leave-in conditioner or like a gel cream. Mm. Like, get you some Camille Rose gel cream. Put that in. It will give you a little bit of hold, so you'll have a little bit of curl, that so you can still feel like you got some curl pop in. But it's loose enough where it keeps your hair looking kind of bouncy and like touchable, free. Which may be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how many white people you're around. But
because they might want to start touching my hair,
you might find a hand in there.
But I think handsy.
You should try it, though. That, okay. I think, you should definitely try a gel cream.
Well, what I have been using, we're just talking about my hair, thank you.
Yeah.
I have been using I use two things. One is a leave-in conditioner from Shea. You've talked about them. Shea Moisture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And one of them, and like when I wear it, everyone's like, you smell, this one guy, Ruta, was like, you smell like a tropical vacation.
Hell yeah.
Because they use coconut in it, and
yes.
it just smells fucking delicious. And but then what I'll use on top of that is like some sort of like gel cream. So I think maybe if I don't use the gel cream and just the leave-in coconut thing, that'll get it.
Try that. Okay. Try that out. Or if you want to, like, you know, gateway your drug into mm-hmm. it, take a little bit of the gel and put it in the leave-in conditioner, okay. mix it together, and then put that in your hair.
Okay. All right.
Because then that way it's like a mixture, a potion.
Ooh.
But one thing
I
to look out for is that.
I love concocting a morning potion.
Try it. I mean, it can't hurt. Just experiment with your hair. And trust me, like, you can go out, as long as you have a good haircut, which you do, you could just let it be. Just let it be. Mm-hmm.
No muss, no fuss. Just wake up and go. I will say, when I wake up in the morning, I love the way my hair looks. It's just ready to go right there.
Then let it go. Then just put on a shirt and some deodorant and then go out and do your day.
All right. Okay. Well, damn. This Ask Minority Corner thing is already, I'm good to go. See, like, Aneka, you take it from here. I'm going to go work on my hair.
Okay. Well, actually, can I read? This is actually perfect, because this next question, which is in a listener and Ask Minority Corner anything, has to do with hair as well.
Oh, perfect. Take it away.
Okay. So this one is from Connor F., and he writes, y'all might have already talked about this, but I thought I'd still ask. I see a lot about cultural appropriating dreads. Lots of white folks wearing them. I also see a lot of people argue that with white Europeans wore them too. Is there any truth to this? I'd love to know your thoughts. Thanks. You want to take a stab at that?
Well, I was going to give it to you, because you're the hair maiden on this, hair maven on this podcast. You lead it off, and then I'll piggyback on.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, if you feel like you're wearing something that you're going to have to defend, maybe you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty much it. Because, like, honestly, you are. Like, I remember there's a video of this white guy defending his dreads going around the internets or whatnot. And it's like, you're going to have to. And there's going to be people who are going to side-eye you on it.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about, like, when I was working on the cruise ship, and we used to go to Labadee, which is a beach on Haiti. Yeah. It's a beach on Haiti. And so you'd get all, I used to drive me crazy. And this is like, I'm like, this is Baby James. This is like Baby James at 23, who's not
young.
Not as like, you know, I maybe have taken Angela Davis class about the prison industrial complex, but I'm not.
You didn't, your workbook wasn't completely filled yet.
Exactly. So, and I just even something like, and you see all these white people who'd go off like, oh, I'm so glad I can finally say I've been to Haiti. And I'm like, you've not been to Haiti. And
they would
come back with their hair all braided with like the, because they'd have like the local ladies from Haiti who would braid their hair because like, you know, they're trying to make a living off this, you know, tourism that's coming through. And it just, and it would just not sit well with me because it just was like, it was, felt like wearing a costume, and they would try to leave it as long as they could so that when they went home, they could feel so cultured and so, like, I mean, unless they're, and I doubt many of them went home and looked up the history of like Haiti.
There we go.
And the history of hair and why, you know, black folks braid their hair or have braided their hair or form dreads. And you've talked about this before in the show about the history of dreading.
Exactly. And you bring me to a really good point because let's say you're a white person, you're of European descent, but you actually know a lot about Rastafarian culture, which is where dreadlocks come from. You actually participate in those events. You live that life. You know that life. You've done your history. You know you can back it up. I would almost say that that's not culturally appropriating.
Okay.
I would say, and it's a gray area, but people are going to give you cred if that's your life. Like, if that is what it is and it's not a costume. Like, for example, this is a good example. Let's look at Eminem versus Vanilla Ice.
or what's that? Informa.
Snow.
I like your boom boom there. I was gonna say snowball. Snow. Yeah, snow, snowy, snow, snowflake.
No, stop it. So Eminem lived that life.
He did.
He, you know, he ran with the circles. He did the whole thing. He hung out with black people. He promoted other black people. He was a part of that culture. So therefore, he was a part of it.
Yeah. And you know? Even comments and addresses, like when he wins awards, he's like, I'm only winning this award because I'm white. Like, is, you know, unlike Azalea Igloo Banks is just like, what? Yeah.
I know. Exactly. And trust me, Eminem is problematic too in his own way.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But we're not like giving him a pass.
Nope.
I'm just giving the example. So if you want to wear dreadlocks, know about it, be about it, wear it, understand it, know the history, know the culture. So if somebody were to approach you with it, then you can back it up with the information, proving that you are about that life.
And be prepared that people might side-eye it and they might confront you with it, but you have to like I would really challenge you that maybe this is part of your mission and your lesson in life, that like you're having to be an advocate and you're gonna have to explain and you're gonna have to back it up, and that's and like, but hey, that's what we have to do in our daily life. We have to back up our, you know, rights to our livelihood as well. So join the fun.
So I have a question for you, and I've heard this before, and I have my own opinions, and maybe I'm being a little devil's advocate right now, because it could be
she pulling
this
out
could
her
be
briefcase.
Racially devil's advocate, but maybe I need help combating these people who ask this question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about black people who are not of Caribbean descent wearing dreadlocks?
Oh.
Is that culturally appropriating?
Interesting. I mean, I have a bias to just quickly off the bat say, no, it's not culturally appropriating. And I just say go for it. And I think there's also maybe a high statistic, because I mean, I feel like, I guess I'm also a little biased, and like, doesn't every black person have some sort of Caribbean descent? At least, not every black person, but I would say a lot of black Americans probably have some sort of Caribbean heritage into their roots. Someone within your lineage maybe made a pit stop along the islands in some way.
I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, I'm the only, over here, it's been very rare for me to meet black people with Caribbean descent, actually. But I don't know. That could be, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. You could, Africa, they wear dreadlocks there though. So
you know. Well, then there you go. When if you got black in you, then you can wear it. Cause like there's a history of dreading in Africa as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ethiopian is African.
Right, yeah. And didn't you see that they had, I don't know if you remember the story, but like there was a group that did it as specifically as a protest.
Ethiopians.
Oh, it's Ethiopians, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was just asking because I've heard that before and it gave me kind of pause. Sure. Also, wouldn't you say that just our hair just does it naturally, so...
It's sort of your hair kind of naturally doing what it needs to or wants to do. Can you quickly remind myself and the listeners the story of what happened in Ethiopia with the dreadlocks?
Yeah, so Ethiopia was in a war with Italy, and Ethiopian soldiers were captured by Italian forces, and... as protest, they stopped eating and they let their hair grow naturally and wild as a protest. And the captors were like, ooh, dreading, like, ooh, it's dread, it's scary, dreadlocks. And that's where it came from.
Oh, fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ethiopia is dope as fuck. I'm pretty sure, and this is, it's hard for me to remember stuff, y'all. I'm getting that old age of 33. But I'm pretty sure that was the African country that was also at war with Italy. And there was the black, oh, I forget his name. There was the black Air Force pilot who went over to Ethiopia to help lead their Air Force against Italy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think Ashley Nicole.
Listeners, if you know it, let us know.
Ashley Nicole Black did a segment on it on Full Frontal, and I forget the guy's name. And they didn't win, but because like, they had like.
Cool.
But they did. They had like they didn't have nearly as many airplanes as Italy, but they, you know, at least tried to hold their ground. They were like one of the last strongholds against.
Wow. Yeah. Fascinating. I love that stuff. Oh, and how it got to Jamaica was that the king of Ethiopia was, King Selassie, was basically idolized by Rastafarians in Jamaica as like one of like the last like relatives to like Jesus or something like that. Don't quote me, but that they worshipped him.
Oh.
And that's why they wore dreadlocks in tribute.
Fascinating. One of the last relatives of Jesus. Not like his kid, but maybe like a cousin of sorts.
Don't quote me on that, James. Well, I mean, like, Jesus bring up the one part that
I just say, because Jesus had like brought like siblings.
I don't know if that's it. I really don't know why it is. I think that just popped out of my mouth. But they worship him. I don't know why.
Could be true. Could not be true.
Okay. Yeah.
You figure it out. We can't do all the work for y'all. It's not like exactly. We don't have no little intern worker bees helping us out. I want to get to the next one. And I think it's actually more so of a Minority Corner quick comment, kind of elaborating on a conversation that we had. This comes from Deirdre.
Yeah.
So they wrote, hey, I was listening to your Pride episodes, and I can't remember which recent one was talking about being at a Pride event and seeing straight people kissing and telling them to tone it down. I wanted to, as a bisexual, non-binary person, remind you that these people could be queer, and just because they look straight, they could be queer through many other outlets, including being bi, pan, being trans, being non-binary, being ace, etc. I feel you when you say straight people need not force their straightness in a queer setting, but assuring their straightness makes these queer spaces unsafe for queers who may not be visibly queer, shouldn't be assumed queer just by appearance. They continue to say, I am choosing to email you as opposed to blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I think that's it. So, and then they said, thanks for the good work, and we love your podcast, and yeah. Well, thank you so much for that one.
Thank you, Deirdre. I think it's great. As a person who said it, I will address it. I will own it.
I love the framing of that. As a person who said that.
I did. I mean, and I will be the first to say that I'm straight. So I could have been my own insecurities popping up. I'll admit that. I'll do that. And I'm highly sensitive, you know, I'm highly sensitive to the fact of making people uncomfortable, not respecting others. So like one of my biggest pet peeves is seeing people who have a blatant disregard to that. So I get highly sensitive when I think I see people who are stomping all over somebody's space where they belong. And I like that Deirdre came up and very peacefully corrected me. And I appreciate that. Like, I love a side eye. And it's true. I don't know if either one of those, the people that I saw, were queer. I just assumed. And like the great saying says, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. And I should know better. I mean, I didn't say anything to them.
Before we get to the seven shamings of a neke, before we start flogging you too hard, I want to say yes, Ian. Yes, Deirdre, thank you so much for this. And I think it's very, thank you so much for the reminding of this. And this is, I think, going to lead in another question that we have later about like finding queer spaces. And you're right of what does mean. I think it has, as a person who's gone away from the Castro for 3 years, say I don't live there anymore, and coming back, I will say there is a rise of, again, I don't know, but it does view that there are a lot of straight people coming to these straight spaces, and there's
queer
not a,
spaces.
Of these queer. Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah. Straight people keep coming to their straight spaces and pushing
What's
queer
happening?
People out. you're there. It seems like, you know, there'll be a gaggle of straight folks and straight guys and who are also trying to show how straight they are. So this is, it's not like what you witnessed is not an anomaly, that it is a thing that if you talk to the people in the Castro, our spaces are being taken away. And I think that that is something that is happening in a lot of spaces. So I do understand the alarm that you had. And I have to say that I do appreciate that.
Thanks.
And there is the balance, because you're right. Maybe they could have been queer, but sometimes there is like a... I understand. I think I saw the couple that you were talking about, or if it wasn't that couple, I've seen couples like it. And it's like a gratuitous, like...
It was gratuitous.
It's a gratuitous... but you're right. They could be bi, they could be, they could, you know, be. Yada.
Yeah,
but
they
there is an epidemic of seemingly cisgender... straight, hetero, I don't know what they're calling themselves, straight people come into our spaces and get our cheap drinks, and there's not, those bars are tiny in San Francisco, and they're pushing us out. And so there is a balance of, I've always said, like, you know, making sure that you're invited into that space, or, you know, there can't be 10 straight people to the one queer person, because the ratio's off in that sense.
I am also a person, and this is just me too, and I think this could have been triggering to me. I am not a performative person when I'm in a relationship, and I'm not looking down on anybody who is. Like, PDA is one thing. Like, I'll hold a hand, I'll give a kiss, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not about to be draped, completely wrapped, intertwined with someone.
Right.
So I think that could have been another thing that probably, one, caught my attention, two, and two, probably just kind of my own personal thing intermixed with it.
It's also the Bay Area is going through a rapid cultural shift and change.
Shit's changing over here.
And so you have people who I think are not as understanding of cultural differences. I'm not just talking about queer differences, but also racial differences as well. So they're going into spaces that seem like, oh, this seems cool and fine. And there's not a respect for those as well. So I think that's where part of your guard is up as well, because the Bay Area is changing. And I'm a person who works in tech, so I'm definitely not saying all tech people, but there is an influx of white privileged people from maybe more conservative, not as diverse towns in different parts of America. And we're seeing a shift and a change. And I think, because I know people who are allies and who are also sort of like in that ambiguous queer sexuality space, but like they're a guy dating a woman. And they come into the spaces, and I you know, like
there's a respect
that they're not like all over their lady, and like it's they're in that space, and they're part of that space, and they're, even though they identify as straight, I consider them as part of that space. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And I hope that you kind of view me as sort of kind of like that.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, I also, like, you have such a, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, James. You made lightning bolts go off in my brain. Like, my cockles are raised.
Yeah.
because I live in the realm of Jogger Joe, Barbecue Becky, and fucking Permit Patty.
Yeah.
I'm here, and I am a Black woman in these spaces.
And you grew up in this space, too.
And I grew up in this space. And I can recognize the a lack of respect because of that.
Yep.
And all I'm asking for is for people to respect the spaces that they venture into, because I respect the spaces that I venture into, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I even will think, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go to this gay club, even though I've been invited to go by, you know, people of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be like, woo, you know, bachelor party, straight woman coming in here. But
and
then
you
in my head, I'm like,
you were still
Nobody
having a good
knows
time.
Knows I'm straight when I'm right. walking in.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not walking in with a shirt that says, like, I love slurping on that dick. You know? Like, I
but
fucking...
But you know what?
I know.
That you might not want to wear it to the club, but I say wear it down the street. Let the world know.
No
slurp,
thanks.
Slurp, slurp.
I will be disappeared in 2 seconds. No, thank you. But I'm just saying, like, no matter who you are, if you're entering into a space that is not your space culturally...
Yeah.
It culturally meaning anything that, you know, applies to that.
I was just
race, gender, sexuality, nationality, all of that.
And
if
just,
it doesn't belong to you, enter with respect.
Yeah. And also just to circle back onto your t-shirt of you were of I love slipping
yes.
on that thing. I just think it, that who would come up to you in the Bay Area and be like Fashion Felicia or something or Fashion Fifi who would write you like some sort of like get the police on you.
Probably somebody. I mean that recently a Black guy got this was not in the Bay Area, surprise, surprise, but he was at a pool wearing socks and a white woman called the police because he was wearing socks at the pool.
Jeez, yeah.
So, well, yes, my clothing articles could get a cop called on
me. It could, yeah. There's that story of there was a guy, a Black guy, who was campaigning door-to-door, and
yes,
this woman called the police on him.
It
was a woman who voted. Wasn't it someone who voted for him called the police on him?
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah, y'all doing too much.
I guess what it boils down to is, one, don't make assumptions about people, and sure. two, respect the places that you go into.
I think it both. You know what I love? Lessons learned on both sides. Which now I hate saying that statement because that orange ass man in the White House ruined that statement, but it's a good statement when used appropriately.
That's the key. Use it appropriately, not to benefit yourself.
On both sides. Now I feel like
racist.
I'm quoting that racist ass man. Okay.
Fuck racist.
Anyways, do you want to read this next one?
Yeah, I'll read the next one. Dear James Ananeke, my name is Bryn O, and I live in a state. As a gay woman, I love listening to your show. I was just listening to your episode about queer traveling and the lack of traveling tips for lesbians and wanted to say there's a lack of something else in the lesbian community. I'm really interested in why there are so many gay bars and gay clubs that tend to cater to mostly gay men, but it doesn't seem like there's any clubs or bars catering to lesbians. I'd love to hear your input about this. Also, I've been sober from drugs for 7 years and haven't drank in 3 years. How the hell do I find women to date when most of the gay community is full of drinking and drugs? Lesbians seem to also have a lack of dating / hookup sites that cater to us. Again, love the show. I learn something new every time I listen. Thanks. Cool.
Yeah. I loved this question, and Ineke,
me too.
You inspired me because Ineke had written, you know, neither of us identify as lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which is true.
It's just true. I know I was like waited. I don't know.
You feel what?
Nothing.
Do you feel weird by stating that you don't identify as a lesbian? Because you aren't. I'm sorry, James.
Maybe there's something I don't know. You don't know how I identify. You do.
I do. I know you pretty well.
You know me pretty well. So I actually went out and I actually emailed and messaged a few lesbian friends
Good!
Of mine.
Yes. I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of Googling too. So you go first. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few things. I want to kind of just work my way backwards through your question real quick here. Actually, one thing I wanted to touch on in terms of like meeting people outside of the bars, and you touch on a really good point that in the LGBTQIA plus community, there can be a huge focus on partying and drugs and alcohol and stuff. I think some of that first derived from being able to say fuck it to societal norms, but then some of it also had to do with the way that we've healed and numbed our pain and our trauma as well. So it kind
which you've covered, which in I have covered prior episode.
And your lesbians have a high rate of alcohol abuse out of all of the different LGBTQIA plus letters. I do believe lesbians had some of the highest rates of alcohol abuse, so I get it. Congratulations on your sobriety.
Congratulations.
I would say, you know, for me, I understand that volunteering is a great way to meet people. Every city has, you know, an LGBTQIA plus different organizations.
Yes.
Volunteering, I think, is a great way to meet people.
And it's doing good.
You're kind of both on the same track. And, you know, there's a lot of different organizations from helping with homeless youth in your community to I believe every city has some sort of a center. And if there's not, maybe that's an opportunity to start doing meetups in your city.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you don't mind, I just
jump in.
So, Bryn, being the librarian that I am, I just decided to, because I know that there's a lot of groups. There's softball groups that you can look up. There is volleyball groups. There are dodgeball groups. I even did a quick search for lesbian hiking in the state that you mentioned that you live in that I won't expose. And there's hella groups, lesbian hiking groups in your state that you might want to look into if you want to be outside and in nature.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So look into that. Meetups are excellent.
Yeah.
Meetup.com.
I've signed up for meetups, but then haven't gone to any of them. But I love that they exist in the groups that, like, I did sign up for, I could go to. Yeah. And I've thought about, like, there's very specific ones. There's, like, LGBT, like meetups for like people who are actors or interested in like film and stuff, like, because that's the specific one I would want to try to meet up with. I somehow came across this article. We'll link it. I'm not gonna go into it into too much depth. I don't know how I got this article. Did someone email this to us? Does this sound familiar? From afterellen.com, the best dating apps for LGBT women.
I mean, that's cool.
I don't know how I got this article, but it,
magic.
Or maybe I was like sleep searching or something. I'm always got the podcast on the mind. I'm just going to quickly state some of these apps I thought were really cool.
Yes.
There's Her.
Okay.
It was formerly Datch, but now it's Her.
Okay.
And it's a fresh, ultra-flexible app aimed exclusively at lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, and queer women. And what they mentioned that they like that they is that when you sign up via Facebook, and it requires a sign up. It's something about it helps to feed out people who pretend to be lesbians on the internet. Like, you have to have like a verified account, so you're gonna limit the sort of trolling that could be happening out there. So this after Alan rated this like the number one, and they have they have more descriptions about why they really liked it. There's also Hinge. And with Hinge, I think this is the one that it gets you in contact with friends of friends, essentially. So it's like those friends, like similar, like through your Facebook account, it's sort of like you can't be linked up with someone unless there's in your network in some way or how. Because sometimes there's hot people that are just a friend away and you don't even know.
It's true. That's the other thing about all these different things that you mentioned before with like volunteering and meetup. You're going to find friends, and then friends connect you to other groups of people.
That's it. Yeah. So it's literally just kind of getting out there and meeting people. There's Bumble, which do you know about Bumble?
I've heard of it.
Don't know. You've been off the market for ages.
But
okay.
I have friends. I've never experienced app dating because I've been in this long ass term relationship, which is good. But also, I have friends. I know that Bumble is the one for straight people where women contact the men.
But women, it's also ladies can use it too. So that is the big twist with Bumble, is that if you're you know, hetero and use it, that it's the big twist is that women ask the men and you have 24 hours to answer it. But I guess I think it's open for everybody, because I was at a gay bar and they're advertising Bumble as well. And if gays can't use it, then why were you advertising? You know what they did?
Yeah, that would be weird if they
Here's what it is. It was Bumble on. They were giving all these giveaways on the 4th of July at this bar in the Castro, and they were fans. You know how us gays love a fan? Pop, flap, fans.
I mean, I love a fan. And I still got a fan in my car from the last time I was out.
See, but like it's specifically, fans have been really used heavily in the gay community. And it said Bumble on it, and we're like, well, we have to be able to use this, otherwise, like, no one gets to ask anybody because they're just two dudes looking at each other. Like, so Bumble, what were you advertising there? Know, that's exactly. Weird. But it's
tell your auntie.
Yeah, hey, auntie, there's a thing. There were two other ones that this list used, and I think you'll appreciate one of them. One of them was, you can just go old school, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, Cupid?
Okay, yeah, you can, yeah. Right? That's how I met my husband.
I was gonna say hello.
Oh, that's why I appreciate it. Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a classic. It's a goodie. I know lots of people, aside from just our lovely house lovely Aneke.
Who's got house lovely. On it. Just call me the well drink of this bar.
You know, I love always giving you a special nickname for the moment.
I like House Lovely.
Our little house
$3
lovely. $3
during happy hour.
Our lovely of the house. Also, Tinder. Tinder's a thing, too, like that you can get up in there. So you're asking for apps. There was that. That was the long answer. I'm sorry going on here. But I'll read the two quotes that I pulled from my friends. And I didn't get hear back from everybody, but you did actually inspire me. One of my friends, she sent me a barrage of articles about the history of lesbian bars and where they went. So I have not.
Can we link that?
Well, here's what I got to do. I want to do a deep dive into those articles.
Oh, so you're going to have a corner for me.
I'm going to have a corner. So thank you for inspiring me with this corner, because I was really fascinated by this too. So I want to be able to represent. So I'm going to do a deep dive onto that later. So I'm not going to reveal the cards yet, but they're coming.
Keep you accountable.
But I want to read this quote from my friend, and they were totally fine. They were like, say my name. So I'm going to So my friend Avi Roque, who is Latinx trans non-binary actor in Chicago, and they wrote...
Ooh, Chicago, hotspot.
Yeah, and they're also from the Bay Area. Shout out to Avi. We were just hanging out when I was there because you were there doing a show. But Avi said, really interesting question. Honestly, I don't know, but here are my thoughts. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is not all great within the LGBTQIA plus community, like still some discrimination, racism, and transphobia. And so maybe it's just a systemic issue too. Like looking at who dominates, and it could possibly be mostly white cis gay men. So they take up the most space, not allowing for others to exist or hold power. Then it could be a financial issue too, with societal economics in incomes, where women, quote unquote, women make less than men, which is why what we call lesbian bars may not be able to survive or stay afloat as a business. That's the other thing nowadays. The word lesbian can be limiting and off-putting for some people, even if they were AFAB, because genders and people's sexualities are evolving and expanding. So maybe people are less inclined to go to those venues or spaces, again, hurting a business to keep their doors open.
And can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
What is AFAB?
I knew you were going to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I just read that too. I don't know. So put a pin in that.
Okay, put a pin in that. Or if you know, shoot us a text a tweet or
they got your number?
No.
The listeners got your number? No,
just text me.
Text the neck, eh? Oh my God.
No, please don't.
You are open and available to the community. I know.
I mean, some of you people know I don't friend on Facebook. I'm sorry. Oh, anyways, going on. Sorry.
Continue. I love it. And just to examine that most closely, it's still divisive with the men who get gay bars and the women who get lesbian bars. So Avi says they think that there's just a bigger question or issue. It's bigger. And maybe we should be thinking and asking why there aren't enough radical, inclusive queer spaces. But that's another convo.
I love it. All the snaps to you, Avi. Thank you.
I said to Avi, like, oh my God, we got to get you on the show. Because that was hit on so many things I would have never thought about. What were your reactions?
I loved it. I'm full on. I mean, like I said before at the start of the show, neither one of us identify as lesbian. So we got to outreach to people who know and understand different communities, because that's the best way to learn.
Yes.
And I feel like I got educated right now. I still have some, you know, questions, and would love to have more answers given to me, because I am curious too, like just by listening to that response, it brought to mind that in San Francisco, there has been some closures of some notable lesbian bars mm-hmm. that people were upset about.
The Lexington.
Yes. So it's like, why did that bar get closed down? You know? So and also, why do some of the bars that are that cater to gay male populations only have like one night for lesbians?
And it's like usually a on night, like a Monday or a Tuesday.
Like, that's shady, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, and I get it. People deserve to have spaces wherever. Like, they should have their own space for, you know, community. But mm-hmm. I'm also just, you know, I'm curious about that. So,
well, and then here's what I like too. So I asked a different couple who are a different age group. They're older. They're not, I don't want to say much older, but they're older than like us. And so they're not 25. And so I wanted to get a diverse group of opinion and thought. And they both, they're two partners. They're one's a faux queen, Miss Shigana in San Francisco. And the other one is her partner is Mad Dog 2020. A drag king who I performed for. So
I was gonna say, didn't you dance in a video?
I did. What I love about performing for Mad Dog 2020 is I love, like, Mad Dog 2020 is a drag king in San Francisco, and when Mad Dog performs, she likes to get like, will be just like her video host. So it'll be me and like three other gay guys in like tight booty shorts and just,
hell yeah, reversal,
doing sexy ass nasty choreography. Yeah. It's just this That's beautiful good. Image because you got this drag king, it looks like a dude, but then these like slutty ass like boys up there.
Ho boys, I love it.
So I didn't hear back from Mad Dog, but I asked them both, and Michigana said, when I said, like, you know, pose the question that you had asked, Michigana was like, yeah, it sucks, huh? We think it's because lesbians tend to stay home since they hook up. That's our guess. They say they love being out. They talked about the Wild Side West in Bernal Heights in San Francisco. It was pretty much the only lesbian bar out there now. And it's a great neighborhood, has a mixed crowd, many gals. It's cute. But they believe that business, they don't really stick around because of it. What I love, like, they also are sober as well. So what I also love is that they're sober and they still go out and they still have a good time. I like that because it kind of had that balance in your question there as well. But that was my original gut instinct was that from just what I heard and found that, like, and this isn't a blanket, but I feel like sometimes, like, some women there's a more nurturing sort of aspect. And not that they don't like going out, but they tend to just sort of like, they find their lover and they stay home. And that happens too in the gay males as well. But I think it could be self-serving because you find your lover. Mm-hmm. There's already no spaces. There's very few spaces for you to go out. So
are you going to
You just keep not going out because you're like, well, I found my lover. There's not really a lot of places for us to go anyway, so I guess we'll stay home. And so then it's sort of the self-savoring thing, and then more businesses are opening up. But there are places like Oasis will have, like, they have their different club nights. There's, forgive the name, but it's called U-Haul, and it's a lesbian party that they throw. And that's supposed to be like a really, really fun party. So,
Yeah, just kind of look for. I think we did a good job.
We patted ourselves on the back on this question
a little bit, because I feel like this was good research that you did, and I'm glad that you went out and asked people too, because that's the most important part.
And everybody asked was very different in terms of the demographic within the community that they represented, from age or race.
That's good.
So, and there's more to come. So we'll circle back. This is a great question, and there's more to come on the answers for this.
Yeah. Do you want to take a quickie little break?
Yeah, I do.
Hi, this is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Fact Yourself, here on the Maximum Fun Network. On Go Fact Yourself, we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb.
Paul, by the way, how much do you know about chicken husbandry?
You gotta give him that grain.
All right.
You gotta give him that grain.
And then smart again.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cleveland Indians became the first active player to enlist?
Bob Feller.
Oh, okay.
We've got me, co-host Helen Hong, plus celebrity guests and actual surprise experts. In the coming weeks, you can hear guests like Maria Bamford, Tom Bergeron, Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Grant Imahara. And if you're in the New York area, come check us out live. We're doing two shows there on July 21st and July 22nd. Go to GoFactorPod.com for tickets and more. We'll see you in New York, or on the first and third Friday of every month here on the Maximum Fun Network.
Thank you.
love that song. Can't get enough.
I know. Thanks, Brown Out.
Oh, we got another question.
Okay. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
I want to hear your voice.
Okay. Hello, Aneke and James. My friend and I have been trying to create a podcast for a while. Problem is, she lives on the West Coast and I live on the East Coast. Sounds familiar. How do you guys make it work? Thanks, Ashley.
I was literally
going to
say, sounds familiar. What a familiar story. How do we? And you know what? We've actually made it work for the like more than the majority, 85% of our podcast has been remote.
Yeah, we were only in the same city or same area for the
first 14 episodes.
That's it.
First 14.
And we're on episode 136 right now.
Yeah, so most of our podcast has been East Coast meets West Coast.
Yes.
You know, I think that we're very fortunate because I think we had the bedrock. I don't know that
we have years.
Well, we have years of friendship, and also having those 14 episodes being in person, I think those were necessary for us to be able to form and be like, okay, we can do this.
Yes, it helps with knowing that you have a banter. Now, Ashley B., if you and your friend already has a good banter, then I think that you could probably make this work. Step numero one is get yourself some good mics. I would say.
Yeah. We use the Yeti Blue mics, which is like, on most of the lists, Yeti comes up as like either number one or number two for like at home podcasting. So they're pretty dope. We had some other ones that were cute.
They got us through.
Starter mics. I think they were like $25 or $30. But the Yeti, it's an investment. It's going to run you about $120. But it's top of the line.
Solid. It's like one of the best mics. Yeah. So what we kind of have a Jerry rig system, but it's very fall safe. So we use Google Hangouts to see each other, so I can see James right now
and it helps to be able to see, have that eye contact. Not mandatory, but it does. I do appreciate the days when I can like look at my house lovely.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
And top shelf drink. And I could look at my natural hair curl glory man, who usually likes to put a spotlight on himself, which is very handy. So
it's
he comes in clear and crystal. But because the internet can cut out, we also talk on the phone.
Yeah.
So that way, if the internet cuts out, we can still hear the voices, which actually happened while we were recording today. So
yeah, so good thing. Good thing. That's always running. So we'll use our headphones to connect into our phone. You'll turn the audio off on your computer, had the visual, and Aneke records her side of the audio and I record my side
using GarageBand.
You can also use Audacity. There's other programs. We just really prefer GarageBand. It's nice and quick and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And we then slice them together. We used to edit it ourselves, and now we have our wonderful editor Woody, who's like the best.
Yeah, the best.
And just puts it all together. I guess also too, it sounds like you two already have an idea maybe what you want to talk about. But for those of you who don't, if you are interested in starting a podcast with a buddy, just know what it is that you like to talk about. What's your niche, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that you're interested in, then there's a niche audience for it.
Exactly. That's the perfect advice. It's basically what I tell my students all the time, where it's like, if you're interested in something, one, there's somebody else that's going to be interested in it. And two, your excitement will get other people interested in it as well. Like, if you're truly excited about fucking the oak leaves of Central California, then fucking do your podcast on the oak leaves of Central California with the most pizzazz that you could possibly do it. And you'll have an audience, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the word out, and there's so many different channels for marketing between Reddit and Twitter and Instagram. And also, sidebar, Instagram, do you know about this? They just started IGTV. Watch out, YouTube.
Yeah, what is this thing? I feel like I'm old for that now.
Oh.
I've dipped in there a couple of times and I've been like, this is too much. And I dip out.
I'm here for it because it's another place for me to upload little videos, and there's no time limit.
You've been doing that?
I will be. Watch out now. That's where I'm going to release that Manatee Kane video, the dance video.
You don't
video,
even
so.
Like using the freaking stories. I've been trying
definitely.
To get you to use
I
the stories.
I definitely don't want to use a story, but I'll do IGTV. I'm not here for the stories. I don't have time. It frustrates
you
me.
You just turned into an old man on me. I'm so confused.
Here's the thing. With the Instagram stories, like, so I'm supposed to post a regular picture, and then I need to post
a story? A video.
And someone needs to watch it? Like,
it's a video.
Why are you... Don't watch it. If I have a story, don't watch it. Because I want you to do something else. Like, watch my Manatee Kane video on IGTV.
Just post your Manatee Kane video as a story.
You can't do it as a story. Stories are like seconds. It's like 2 seconds. I'd be like, beep, what up? Or like, I got a nipple. Next thing. Ugh, I just can't with the stories. I have venom for the stories. I can't.
I am surprised. Wow. See, Ashley B., when you start doing a podcast with your friend, you will discover some things.
You will learn things about them. I'm just not here for it. Oh, also, you're going to need to host your podcast somewhere as well.
Yes. Quiet space.
Okay, yes, and quiet space.
Oh, yeah. Libsyn is a hosting site.
But also
site.
A
yes,
physical quiet space
yes.
as well.
Sorry.
That was great. Okay. You'll need a physical quiet space and a digital space
yes.
to be able to host it. We use Libsyn. Libsyn, and we did some research before we started, before we got into all these different things, and I found that Libsyn was the best in terms of hosting.
It's easy.
And it's what most podcast folks do use, I believe. A lot of people at Maximum Fun use Libsyn. And what Libsyn's great, because once you upload your episode, you pretty much have a blog site that it'll go to there. And you can design your blog site. And then it'll also automatically go to all of your channels. So it automatically will upload to iTunes. Having iTunes, is, I think, a must. Having it on Apple if you're doing a podcast. Some people use SoundCloud, which...
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
And SoundCloud is it's free, so there's
that.
But if
good.
You really want to get your podcast out there, and I really encourage you to get your voice out there, put a little investment into your podcast and make sure it's on the Apple iTunes, because also through Libsyn, it'll automatically also go to all the other channels as well. So
we're on
Stitcher, all of those. Some of them
we're even on Spotify.
We're on Spotify. We got the invite. Thank you. And some of them you will actually need to actually email them and let them know that you have a podcast. I think with Stitcher, we had to say, hey, we're here, and they'll take your RSS feed. I know we're talking a lot of jargon, but they'll take your RSS feed and automatically upload it. So when ours goes to every podcast channel out there that there is, and that's where you want your voice about to be heard, because otherwise you're just talking to just you and your friend, and you know you want your voice out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're not Linda Tripp yourself for nothing.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to be a Linda Tripp. So, and Linda Tripp didn't do it for nothing either. She got the word out. She was pre-podcast.
I feel bad for Monica Lewinsky, man.
For Monica, I do, but not Linda. The joke is more on Linda.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. I am here for Monica's narrative. Yeah, we're not. Monica, you can come on here and we will be up straight and up front and be like, we're going to record this conversation.
Yes, we will tell you.
So that way you know. I'm here for Monica. I am about it. I support her.
About
you. So I hope that. Did we answer it? Did we do it?
I think we did.
You want to create some artwork, you know?
Just get on the mics. Try it out.
Get the content out there.
And then you'll get your groove.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you'll be at 136 episodes.
Before you know it. And you're gonna learn a lot as you go through it. There'll be the growing pains. Like, listen to our first episode, and now the audio has gotten significantly better.
Woo! Yes.
It was crazy.
Black and white for your ears.
It was literally like black and white to like we're in like 4K now.
Yes.
You know?
Thanks for the question, Ashley.
Thank you for that, Ashley.
So we got a couple of statements now.
Yeah, this is a statement to Minority Corner. Statement to Minority Corner.
I gotta say something to those two. That's the clip for that.
That is the clip. That's a good one.
I gotta say something to James and Aneke.
Wait, here, I think it goes the song and then the statement, so I'll sing it. Statements to a Minority Corner.
I gotta say something to those two.
Boom! Explosions.
I know.
We were a radio show. That's what it is.
That'd be good.
Okay, I'll hit up this first one. This one we got as it was a while ago. We just kept getting cut for time.
Yeah.
As we, you know, our podcast likes to go. Also, sidebar to the last question. I'm a real big fan. I know our episodes are like an hour plus, but if you can get a nice tight 30 minutes or under podcast, you're in the money. You are in the money. So not for us.
Is that like secretly dragging us right now? What is?
No, I just, because we came in, we've been around for a few years. I just think like newer podcasts now with trying to build an audience, I think it's in your best interest for, you know, we're the old school vein.
Keep it short for the beginning and then people will want more.
Yeah. Just because like there's like hundreds of thousands of podcasts and, you know, I know for my cousins who listen to a lot of podcasts, they're like, I love this new one that's 15 minutes. And I'm like, but what about Minority Corner? They're like,
You know what? The listeners listening right now know.
Yes, they know.
Gold.
They're here for every minute of it. So
yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ready? So Jennifer EA said through Facebook. This one's through Facebook. That's Facebook Messenger. So I took a hiatus from the podcast this summer. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Oh, so you stopped listening, Jennifer EA.
See? All right. I just can't. We love you. And have. No. And have been catching up lately. Okay,
good.
Catching
Thank
up.
You.
Okay,
Thank you. Okay. Right. Okay.
I love that we're just commenting on like every moment of this letter.
Hey, it's a statement. We don't get to respond.
You're right. Yeah, this is a conversation. I just listened to Queen Khalifa Part 2. Ooh, that was a good. I loved that one. That was a good
episode. Yeah, it was a good one.
It reminded me of Chief Tuscaloosa of the Mississippian culture in what is now the U.S. state of Alabama.
Oh, okay.
His name derived from the Western Muscogean language, ancestors to the Creek and Choctaw. I just want to give me, oh, damn it. I was just about to give me snaps for all my pronunciations. I did well for 2 out of 3.
You did.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought about Empress Candace for a second.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Elements Tosca meaning warrior and Lusa meaning black, translating to black warrior.
He was a
very wise, he was also respected and feared leader. Ooh. And best way to rule, just kidding. Mm-hmm. The city of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I have lived for 15 years, is named after him. Also the Black Warrior River, which runs through the city. So just a little fact. I love the Minority Corner Kids report. You know,
hell yeah, give us some facts. I love that. Thank you, Jennifer. This was awesome.
I do love that. And also what I love about that too is it's nice to see history of not just like Confederate general guy
in the South.
You know, like the thing that's like super important. So I really do appreciate that as well. And there's other forgotten stories and legends of heroes who are not white that have like fallen by the wayside.
I love it. We need to speak their names. That's great. Thank you. More of these stories, please, you guys. All right. So should I read this next one?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we might have said this before in a past episode, but we're just going to revisit it now because now's the time.
Now, as Lucy Liu's character in Kill Bill said, now's the fucking time, as she held up that bloody head.
Yes. Put some grit into it. Lucy Liu needs to come back. Well, I mean, she's on Elementary. Who's watching that?
Oh, not just that. Okay, wow. Well, someone is. You know who's watching it? Lucy Liu's mother. Okay. Probably. So she counts. All right. But you know what else? You know, Lucy Liu has stepped behind the camera.
Ooh. What's she directing?
She's just directing episodes of Luke Cage.
Oh, I love it.
Season 2. Yeah. Yeah. She was directing season 2. I would have met her, except I was in San Francisco. I was asked to do the Luke Cage red carpet premiere, but I was in San Francisco and I couldn't. I went. She's blonde now.
Okay, Lucy Liu.
So she's doing it.
Doing her thing.
I don't know if you I want to get your thoughts and opinion when you do watch it on. I'm only like 4 episodes in about Luke Cage season 2. Because
okay, I need to watch it.
I think you're going to side-eye it.
Ooh.
Because the villains, the villains are the Jamaicans.
Oh, don't like that.
Yeah. So then it's like, what are we doing here, black people? Like, wait,
I know.
What?
Why are we going
like,
to make Jamaicans villains?
So.
Do they have them in those stupid netted tops, too? They always put us Jamaican criminals in fucking netted
No, no, no. They're dressed just like the every
tank
they're,
tops.
They're actually looking really snazzy, and but they just like they make a point to be like, oh, the Jamaicans are doing this thing, and
why are they?
But I'm only 4 episodes in, so it could be we find out that you know you never know. There could be a twist, and it's like
that they probably do black magic or some bullshit.
No, or that like it's like oh, it's not really the Jamaicans, and we're seeing it wrong. You know, it could be that you know slip of the wrist thing. I will say. That I think we have to stop being surprised when these Marvel Netflix shows like are kind of boring sometimes because
that's why I kind of check out.
I think that it was exciting at first, but then we have to remember that I don't think Netflix shows have that much of a budget, so they can't really do like superhero actiony stuff that we'd expect them to do. So like,
Some plot written, something that like gets fair me. Enough. You don't fair need enough. An explosion to keep me interested; just a good story. Shit.
It was also like a nice little high kick. Like I don't know, Jessica Jones season 2 was like so snoozy.
See, I didn't even watch it.
But I would say at least Luke Cage will connect to the other world of like the Defenders. And stuff, but then it's also just hard because you have these other huge things that are happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and these characters have like nothing being affected by them on it. So it's like, why weren't you fighting in that fight? Mm-mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me read this last statement. Ready?
Do it.
Still loving your show, of course, but I'm listening to your Queen episode, and I've had a grief going in my mind for a bit, and I gotta get this out. I'm giving you attitude with this one.
Because they're coming with it.
Okay. You make sure you pronounce your Queen Bees correctly, because there's only one Queen Bee in my mind, and that's Little Kim. Oops, Queen Bee. Oh. Anyways, now, my personal queen is neither of those two, but misdemeanor herself, Missy Elliott. But I have respect for the nicknames, and you got to wait for a generation before you hand the title of Queen Bee over to another soul. And I would love Goldilocks to be your running advert on the other Max Fun shows. I was laughing out loud in my shop over that one. Smiley face. Aaron B. A lot of sass, Aaron B. But thanks you know for following up with a compliment.
We're here for it, you know. And you're right. Like, you know, these are the true facts that we have to debate here on the show. Who is the queen? Well, I mean, like, the thing is, like, I do believe that Queen Bey has been dubbed a queen. And...
yeah, it's true.
As much as, like, Little Kim is always the queen of my heart and soul, she I felt heart and prayers go out to that woman. You know, we talked about Little Kim on the show.
I hate to say this, but Little Kim, she just filed bankruptcy. And that is not something that a queen does. Ooh, I said it.
You did say it. But you know what is also fucked up, though? It's like the music industry is so tough. And I think the people that survive it are the people who are business savvy. Because you don't really make a lot of money in the music industry. It's some old ass white dude at the very top who makes all the fucking money. The artists aren't making the money. And so the ones that are able to survive are the ones who are able to invest into things. And invest and this is off topic and not talking about Black Queen wonderfulness, but like Britney Spears like has her name on so much shit, like perfumes, things like that. Yeah. Jennifer Lopez does the same thing as well. And that's why they're as fucking rich as they are, because they're like, they know, they're like, I'm not going to make any money off of this song. So I got to invest my name and my brand onto other things. And Beyonce does, she's able to like, she invests into shit. And I think also too, when you talk about the word of queens, it's sort of an icon, and Little Kim didn't ever get to be that sort of icon. She was an icon
in her own.
She was a self-dubbed queen.
Okay. You know what? I don't want to compare Black women. Can they all be queens?
No, and not just like.
No, I'm talking about Little Kim, Beyonce, and Missy
like the
Elliott.
Way that like you're also a queen, yada. But like, I think like I guess like there. I think for me, like a pop king of pop or queen of pop. Like, I think it's a real thing that we do kind of tend to have every generation, and so I think in that sense, no, Little Kim is not like, she's a queen in the sense that she dubbed herself as a queen, and I will let her run with that. I don't think Missy Elliott has ever dubbed herself as a queen and doesn't want to be a queen. I think Missy Elliott's just a boss ass human being. So I wouldn't call Missy a queen, except in the way that like all Black women are queens, yes, but not in like a musical like queen way.
I mean, I will agree and say that Beyonce has risen to a level that I feel like competes with Michael Jackson.
Like, yes, I
don't
agree.
Think of that icon Missy status. Elliott or Lil' Kim has reached that level. Like, right. I feel like while that Missy Elliott is highly respected, and so is Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Beyonce, I don't think can go anywhere in public around the world without causing a scene.
And Lil' Kim can because she changed her face.
Ooh, burn.
What? Ouch. Is it not true?
Spicy.
She changed her face.
Spicy her hot face. Takes. Hot takes coming to you from James. I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no,
I feel
agree.
Like,
I agree. That's why I'm saying
it's
the icons.
Like, each generation has their own icon, but I feel like, I hate to say it, as someone who was very much alive and kicking and was running around listening to music in the 90s, we've reached a new generation.
Yeah,
it's been 20 years.
And the young kids have spoken, and she is their queen, and there'll be another one in 20 years from there, too. And Beyonce gives homage to the King of Pop. You know, I think her formation outfit at the Super Bowl was very reminiscent of Michael Jackson's, you know, little, thing there.
I think it changes when it becomes not so American and becomes more global.
Ooh,
and that's
global.
One thing that we Americans need to cut that shit out, which is one of my biggest pet peeves, is that we think that the world revolves around us when it doesn't. People will be like, the world's going to shit because the president is Trump. And I'm like, America's going to shit.
But the
other countries
not.
Have been going to shit for way long before us, and other countries are thriving right now. So maybe let's stop being so central to everything too. Like, I don't know. Like, I think we need to stop thinking, I don't know why I'm going on this rant right now, but we definitely need to like stop thinking of ourselves as the center of everything, because that kind of got us into this pickle that we're in right now. So
yeah, I agree. Can I just, we had a tweet actually I wanted to just read real quick. It was an actual question and it's a really quickie. It's a quickie.
Okay.
At not dead, just dying. KM said, yeah, I hope you're okay over there. KM said, at Minority Corner, I'm a big musical fan, and I was wondering, do you know of any good queer POC inclusive musicals?
Kinky Boots.
I was literally going to say that. Kinky Boots. Yes. Kinky Boots is a very queer POC.
Is it Dear Evan Hansen, too?
I don't know enough about
wrong.
That one.
I don't know
but
that.
Rent, for sure,
of course,
like
Rent.
The best queer POC musical of all time. Mm-hmm. The Color Purple.
Color
Purple is super, like, it's very, and that's why I was so disappointed by it when I watched the musical first, then I watched the movie. Like, the new musical, I hear, does a really good job of updating, like, adapting
the book.
And like, whereas the movie, like, shied away from, like, I thought the lesbian
Steven Spielberg
plot.
Didn't want to go there. Plus, it was still the 80s. They were
and it was
scared.
It was rated PG-13, so it really went for that family thing. Mm-hmm. That movie. I don't know what all the fuss was about. I get at the time, but. And then Hedwig as well, not
yes.
as queer POC.
Yes.
But yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, right. That's it for our first Ask Minority Corner episode. I hope you had a great time. I know that we
did. Yeah. That was an excellent episode. Thank you, and everybody, for all your questions.
That's what I was going to say. It was an excellent episode because of your amazing, wonderful questions. And we'd love to do more of these, but you got to ask us things and we
will
deliver.
You
got to
ask us things.
You
got to
ask us things. And you can ask us things on our many different channels.
Yeah, you can tweet us at Minority Corner with a K. We're on Twitter. You can email us at minoritycornersmelt@gmail.com.
Minority Corner Kids Playground. Was that what you were going to say?
Yes, it was.
Took the words out
mind
of your
meld,
mouth, Wonder Twin.
Mind meld. I know. That's on Facebook. So
and you
get
can also
a hold of us.
And you can email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com and we'll be there. We got you.
I said it already. Excuse.
Oh, I was just excited about the email. I love the emails. And you can send us a voice memo too. I've been getting a bunch. That's why we had to do a whole entire episode catered just to this. Catered to you, as Beyonce said. As the queen.
Catered to you.
We cater to you. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together,
we're the majority. Ooh, nailed it again.
I don't know if we nailed it, but okay. Close enough.
We did our best from far away.
We did.
Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.